Father, we just thank you right now, and we praise you, and we give you all honor and all glory for what you're doing here this morning. I thank you, Father God, for those who came out to sit at your table, to dine with you, and to get new revelation knowledge of what you're about. We ask right now, Father God, that each and every need be met here this morning. I thank you that your angelic hosts are already in the room, that your Holy Spirit's been working ever since we came in here. I thank you, Father God, for the intercessors who have been praying at the altar before the services, because I can feel the difference. It's clear in the atmosphere for you to move the way you want to move. I thank you, Father God, for all your saints who are committed to follow you no matter what, where life takes them. And we give you honor and glory right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, we're all on a journey. And if you don't understand that, if you just think you're just here because you're here, that's not the truth. We're here for a purpose. We're here on a journey. We're here on assignment from God to do the things that God needs done on this earth. Just as Satan uses vessels to work through God, well, let me say, just God uses vessels to work through, so Satan imitates and he uses vessels to work through. I'll put it that way, because I want to give God the glory here. Now, who are you working for? You have to understand who you're working for, and you have to be honest with yourself who you're working for and who you're working with. Are you really working for God? Are you really working with God? Or are you just sort of just, you know, him hauling around and beating around the bush and never getting anything accomplished? This is all from God, so some of you need to hear this. God's trying to get your attention about a few things. And I'm hearing God say, too, we're not on a cruise ship or on a luxury yacht. We are in a warfare. We're in a battle boat. We're in a warfare. And we need to be about the Father's business. It would be nice if we could go back 20 years, 25 years, where was you go into the house of God, everything was peaceful, everything was quiet, and you know, you just sang a few songs and heard a sermon, went home as still happy as whenever you came. But those days are far gone, and we're not going to get them back, because it's going to be warfare from now until Jesus takes us on home. So are you a warrior or are you not? God put a word out the other day about warriors, right? And I'm wondering how many of you can say, I'm one of those warriors. You have to really think about this. Quit living in delusion. Are you a true warrior? The word God put out this morning was a strong word also. And, you know, and God keeps getting stronger and stronger with his daily words. But is he getting your attention? Is he really getting your attention? Are you really acting on what you're reading, or are you just reading and say, well, that sounded good, and flip it to the side? You know, when you read something about God, what that God is saying, you need to take it into your spirit, man, and you need to chew on it. You need to meditate on it. Some of you are not faring too well in your walk with God right now, because I feel you, and it's not good where you're at, but only you can get yourself out of your hole. And you do that by calling on the other saints, saying, look, you know, I need covering, I need encouragement, I need to be pulled up because I'm down. And if you are too prideful to do that, well, then you're going to stay down and eventually be trampled to death by the enemy. And I know you're there because I feel you when I'm in prayer, and it's not a good thing. This morning, God wants to talk about encountering the holy of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, as I started teaching, you know, writing this, I got to thinking about it's God, Jesus, and just not Spirit, it's Holy Spirit. And I've never really put the two together before. But the Spirit is the holiness of God. All right? Jesus is the Son of God, and God is God. All right. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, you know, Jesus is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What's meant by holy in 1 Peter 1:15 through 16? The word translated holy means sacred, morally blameless, consecrated, saint. Leviticus 19:2 speaks, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Old Testament, God speaking about holiness. God is looking for some people who are consecrated or set apart for His use, and He knows who those holy ones should be because He chose us. He knows the ones He wants to be holy. But what's the Word of God say? Many are called, but few are chosen. God's calling you to be holy, but if you don't become holy, then God can't use you. Ephesians 1:4 says, "And called us to be holy for His purpose." And that's in 2 Timothy 1:9. He wants us holy for His purpose. When we first started in this room, God had me put this up, and it's been up there all these years. But I don't really think, you know, when I look at it, I don't think people sitting here look at it and take it to heart. They just look at it as a picture. But it's a message. God has always been calling His body, Christ, to be holy. And Ephesians 1:4 says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." 2 Timothy 1:9, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace." The King James Version of 1 Peter 1 through 15 uses the word conversation. The word translated conversation means behavior. You should be holy in your behavior. The verse is saying our manner of life or behavior should reflect holiness because God is holy. Jesus is a perfect example of one who walked in holiness. If we look at how He lived and exemplified holiness, we see a life committed to honoring God, showing love, honoring parents, serving others, and keeping the body holy. Let's look at five ways we can be holy, just as Jesus was holy and we are called to be. 1, honor God. 2, show love. 3, honor parents. And 4, serve others. 5, abstain from sin. Many are sitting in the house of God today all over the world, believing that they're going to go to heaven, and they're not, because all they do is come and sit in the house of God, and then they don't live the life that God has called them to live. When people look at you, they should see you different than the world. I go to church. Is that right? If you go to church, and why are you acting like the devil? Why are you acting just like I'm acting? A person in the world looking at you is asking that question. If you go to church and confess to know Christ, then you should be different and you should be walking holy. And you can do that, or God wouldn't have told you could do it. The Bible says God's made a way of escape from anything that comes your way. Ephesians 1:24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." See, once you become born again, then the old man is supposed to be washed away, and the new man created in Christ should come into play. And that is whenever you start living a holy life, you start getting rid of your old ways, and you start walking in the holiness of God. Being holy isn't natural. And it isn't something we can do under our own strength. Holiness is only possible when we put on the new self and live life as the new creatures God ordained us to be. You're going to have to do away with the old man. That's just the bottom line. You have to get rid of the old man, or you're not going to make it in the kingdom of God. Going to church doesn't get you saved, doesn't get you a seat in heaven. Changing get you a seat in heaven. That's why you see so many churches emptying out, because the people really weren't saved. They really weren't connected to God, so they didn't have the faith they should have had, and so they just walk out. Things don't go your way, just walk out, walk away. Too many people sitting behind pulpits are steeped in sin, and they don't teach against sin, because if they teach against sin, then they're teaching to their self, and they have to change, and they're not willing to change. You're going to see a lot, I'm hearing God say, you're going to see a lot of mantles being taken away from ministers because they are not changing and they're leading their people astray. Although holiness isn't natural to us, we are instructed in Scripture to follow or pursue holiness. One of my children said to me the other day, I'm so glad that I was born into a Christian home and didn't get steeped into sin and then have to work my way out of it. That really impressed me that a young child thinks that way. You know, and but they're doing a lot of deep meditating if they're talking that way. Because, you know, what's in your home is what your children become. And what you are is what your children to become. And that's why I get very upset when sin's in my home, because I'm trying to raise two young boys in the way of the Lord, and they see all this sin nature, so they have to fight the sin nature in order to live God's way. And that should never be. A young child should have a godly home to grow up in and be taught of the ways of God and not have to face the things of the world till they get out into the world. All right, practicing being holy. We should look for opportunities to be holy. All right, being holy may mean not listening to the same music as our family and friends or watching the same television programs. See, I have a hard time with that in my home. I don't want you playing other music than godly music. I don't care if you like country and western. I don't care what you like. You're in my home, and so we'll play the music that God ordained to be play it in my home, and that's godly music. There's nothing wrong with country and western music, but there's a whole lot of negative stuff in country and western music, and it does not build up your morale. It tears it down. I used to listen to country and western music all the time, and until I became born again, and God convicted me of that and said, I don't want you listening to that. In fact, for 8 years, we turned our TV off. God told me to turn the TV off. And I turned the TV off and for 8 years and turned it back on because my mother came to live and she wanted to watch TV. And I wished I'd never done that, but I did. And the church I was going to, the pastor, I loved him in pieces and he loved me too, but he preached about it one Sunday. He said she has her TVs turned to the wall. And I said, no, I don't. I never moved them. They're sitting right there. You can look at the screen if you want. I just turned them off because God said turn them off. And you know what? My family learned how to read. They learned how to read because there was no TV to watch. And they're still avid readers to this day because they, for 8 years, they didn't watch a box. Now you have cell phones and you have tablets. Kids don't know how to read because they don't know how to interact because they're always on cell phones or tablets. Grown-ups are the same. I'm not connected to my cell phone. Anybody in my family will tell you that. All right. I know if you have a business, you have to have your cell phone, so don't sit there and do all that garbage. I'm just trying to get you. Come on. All right. Holiness may involve changing the way we dress, think, or respond to temptations. See, young ladies say, I'm saved. And I said, is that right? What's part of you saved? Your nipples are sticking out, and I see your honey every time you lift your leg. Come on. Dress is too short, too low, too tight. You can't even breathe in them. Come on. That's temptation. You're tempting the men around about you, or maybe even the women nowadays, you know. You should dress accordingly. You should dress so you aren't a temptation to anybody. All right, holiness may involve the changing the way we dress, think, or respond to temptations. What are you thinking? What's going on in this little mind up here? You might be looking at me smiling, but what are you thinking? Your mind someplace else thinking about pornography you just watched, or you can't wait to get home to watch. I knew somebody couldn't wait to get home to go into the secret place and watch pornography. So, your mind, you have to change the way you think. Well, I'm so glad some of you are getting your toes stepped on because you're awful quiet. God's working on holiness right now. Holiness means being set apart for the Master's use. Walking in true holiness means being like our Father. You ask me, well, this is God speaking now. You ask me what I'm doing. You ask me why the painful process. You wonder what has changed. I'll tell you, though the prince of darkness has sought to change the rules, I have not changed. My standard has not changed. The plumb line of my Father's house has not changed. That which was created in form from the foundation of the throne has not changed. Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. Do you really believe that? I don't think so, or you'll be living the way you're living, right? God didn't give you breath so that you could go out and sin. He gave you breath so you could preach the gospel or minister the gospel to other people. Then God says, I am holy and I am spirit. This cannot be altered. It cannot be compromised. It is only in my holiness that you can access my grace. It is only through my spirit that you can have true power. Without my holiness and without my spirit, you have nothing. And yet, there are peddlers of my word who have sold you out. They have heralded righteous works that are void of my spirit. They have marketed a message without holiness. They have compromised my standard and tried to alter the plumb line. They have told you that knowledge and kindness is enough. They have told you that reaching souls is enough. But without a full immersion of my spirit, these souls will never live. The power of the cross can only be accessed with a holy life fueled by my spirit. The power of the cross can only be accessed with a holy life fueled by my spirit. There is no kingdom power to transform the earth. I'm sorry. There is no kingdom power to transform the earth when you have denied my holiness and rejected my spirit. What does God say? You could stand in the end of your life, you stand before God and he says, depart from me, you wicked one, I do not know you. And you, but I prophesied and I did this and I did that. And he's saying, that means nothing to me. Did you live a holy life? Did you walk in my spirit? Are you listening? Now, you can't make somebody else walk in the spirit. You can't make somebody else live a holy life. You yourself can live that way and be an example, but other people don't get upset when they don't change. My brother always said to me, I just can't understand how come your children went astray when you live the way you do, because I've always lived a holy life. And, you know, I made them go to church, my brothers. And he said, I just don't understand that. But do you know what? Because he doesn't go to church because he sees too much that he doesn't like. And I understand where he's coming from. But he lives a good life and he lives a holy life because of what he learned as a young boy. He has not departed from those ways. So what I'm saying here is you can't get everybody saved, but you're planting a seed. And I'm watching that seed in my brother grow and grow and grow. So don't just do what you're supposed to do. Be an example. Be a witness. And it's up to God and the person what else happens. You don't have to explain yourself. How many of you find yourself used to, or maybe still do, explaining to people why you think the way you think and do the things you do because they think you're weird and they're trying to get you on, the devil's trying to get you on his level and you're staying up on God's level and they're just can't understand that, why you can't bend. Oh, come on, let you and I have a little bit of weed. No, that you keep your weed and I'll keep my sanity, all right? You see, come on, let's have a beer. One beer is not going to hurt you. No, that's all right. You take your one beer, then 30 beers later when you're drunk, I'm still sober. Come on. That's the way it works. I watch it all the time. All right, God said, I am holy and I am spirit. I will not be made in the image of man, nor allow those bound to the flesh to strip me of who I am and who you are meant to be. Let's read that again. I am holy, says God, and I am spirit. I will not be made in the image of man, nor allow those bound to the flesh to strip me of who I am and who you are meant to be. And yet, some have traded this treasure for inferior imitations. You traded your walk with God to whatever Satan tempted you to do. God said, I am calling out these peddlers of cheap grace. They have taught that my grace overlooks man's weakness and dismisses man's sin. And I do not like the messages on cheap grace. I do not. And I do not like to hear anybody preach it. God's grace will see you. God's grace will see you through everything, but not the way they're teaching it. They're perverting it. And God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is always there. But they're saying you can sin and sin and sin and sin and sin and sin and God's grace will always be there. That is not true. And so many saints are going to hell believing that they can sin and just say, God, forgive me. And it's over with over and over and over again. You don't repent if you're still doing the same sin over again. You have not truly repented. God said, they have preached a salvation of fleshly works and lured the masses to their productions. They have polluted my gospel by putting appearances before consecration and packaging before purity. In other words, they're dressed fine, you know, and they have big, fine churches, and they're not really living a pure, holy life. They have all the, you know, beautiful material things, but what's going on inside of them? This is not a weak thing that we're doing for God. This is a strong thing that we're doing for God, walking in holiness and purity of heart. And, you know, the enemy is using any means he can to get you out of holiness. And he's making you, trying to make you believe, because he can only try. You want to believe, that's why you believe. But he can only try to make you believe that we're wrong and he's right. Come on. And we can't bow to the devil. We just cannot bow to the devil. We have to stay strong in the Lord. Sometimes you become a very lonely person because you're the only one that's really walking the righteous path that God's calling you to walk, and you're trying to keep your sanity, and you have to go lock yourself in a room to get away from the noise of the evil that's around about you. It's better to do that than stay in that evil and have the devil suck you into his dark hole that he has. You have to watch who you're around. God said, I will not have a bride that has been dressed for a platform instead of prepared for the bridal chamber. See that? God said, you have been told that Jesus is enough without need for things of the Spirit. That's not true. I mean, that's what's being taught, but it's not true. But it is my spirit that raised him from the dead, and it was my holiness that qualified him to defy death. It is only through a laid down life that one can walk in the power of the cross. It is only through a laid down life that one can walk in the power of the cross. It is only by my spirit that you can live and move and have your being. The father of lies has been selling you snake oil. He has lured the masses to a gospel without power and a message without meaning. One time I was at a Women's Aglow meeting, and they had this young lady get up and sing, and she sang beautifully. And when she was through singing, here was me, big mouth me, God using me, and told her music was beautiful, but she was in deep sin. And if she didn't get out of sin, she was going to hell. And they were all upset with me that day. How dare I? She was a beautiful singer, and everybody had her in their meetings. I don't care. I mean, God told her what was going on, and lo and behold, it was, well, we always know it's God. And she was doing all these things, but you know what? She started crying, and she started repenting, and I've always hoped that she really changed. It became the child of God that she was singing. You know, she was singing about God and all that, and I hope she became that child. Come on. You might as well go on out into the world if you're not going to change. You know, I don't understand how people go in the house of God and do what they do, knowing the sin that they're operating in. That blows my mind. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of God. I had a pastor one time. I was a deacon in a church, and God showed me they were in sin, so I went to talk to them, as a deacon's supposed to. And when I walked in the room, she started puking. The woman started puking and carrying on. I didn't know what all that was about. And then, you know, next thing I knew, here comes the pastor knocking on the door. And she comes in and she says, "What's going on here?" And the lady says, "She's coming here to tell me that I can't." She was committing adultery. "I can't commit adultery." And she said, and the pastor said, are you enjoying what you're doing?" She said, "Yes, I am." And she told me, "You get out of here and don't you ever come bother her again." And she told the young lady, she said, "You go ahead and do what you want to do." Found out later the reason why she said all this, because she was in it too. And, you know, I left that place, you know, I wasn't born again too long. I left that place shaking my head thinking, this isn't right. This just is not right. The blind lead the blind and they both fall in the ditch. Come on. All right, God said, "I have written these things to you concerning those who deceive you." And 1 John 2:26 says, "But the anointing," Jesus speaking, "but the anointing which you have received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, for as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is truth and is no lie, and just as it has taught you, remain in him." The Holy Spirit teaches you of all truth and leads you into all truth. Mark, God's just really impressed upon me to tell you, you have to tell the people about holiness. You are around a lot of beggars. And God said, they're not right. And he's going to give you the words of saying, you've got to tell them or their blood is going to be on your hands. All right? And he's saying, if you'll do it like I say to do it, you'll come out smelling like a rose and they'll be convicted. Some will bend to what you say and some will not. But he's saying, be true to my word and I'll be true to you. You have a great, God's saying this, you have a great calling upon your life, son. It's a deep calling. And deep is calling you into the darkness of this world to let your light shine and to bring holiness amongst the people. Then God goes on to say, I am bringing into the light those who have preached without my spirit and proclaimed a hollow truth. No longer will I allow the plumb line to be altered. No longer will I allow my holiness to be sidelined and my spirit to be ignored. It is time for my spirit called holy to break upon the scene. All must know the essence of my being, which is holy and which is spirit. Even as I, then God goes on to say, even as I reset these core foundations, I have placed in your midst purified champions who are anointed and true. They have been hidden from the cameras and shielded from the lights, and their time of advancing the gospel of my kingdom is here. And what God is saying is the ministers are out there now preaching a divided word. He's going to remove and he's bringing new people on the scene who he has trained to walk in holiness and purity, and he's going to use them to minister the gospel. As I read, somebody said the next 10 years are going to be great and wonderful years with the Lord. We're going to still have all the darkness going on, but God's going to be doing all kind of miraculous things for the next 10 years. So you guys that are getting ready to be pushed out into your ministry, you can look forward to 10 years of greatness in God. All right. And in this prophetic word I was reading, God's saying that great signs, wonders, and miracles will be occurring for the next 10 years. And he wants us to be in, you know, he wants the whole body of Christ to be involved in this holiness ministry that he's pulling forward. All right, God went on to say, heaven has been backing these servant leaders and my presence goes before them. How will you know them? You will know them by virtue of their holiness and their spirit. That which the enemy has sought to eliminate is resident within many who have been prepared for this very hour. It is because of their sanctified lives and time spent before the throne that these men and women are rising up to displace the spurious messengers of lesser gods. So, okay, we've been on the backside of the desert. God's been cleaning us up and getting us ready for this dispensation of time. And now is the time when God is going to start pulling you forward and set you in the ministry he has already foreordained for you to work in, because you have learned holiness. You have learned the truth. And you will not bend or bow to anything that the enemy throws your way. Somebody has to be walking in holiness, because this world is a mess. It's so perverted, it's pitiful. And God is, you know, he's been working with people. Now, either you have allowed God to clean you up, or you've stayed in your sin. You know, only you know what's, you and God know what's going on in your life. And a sin is a sin. So don't think, well, this little sin didn't hurt anything. A sin is a sin. All right. God said, look past the platforms of man and associations with big names. Look past the productions and publications and look for my heart. I had somebody tell me yesterday they have a better walk than I do, but they're full of strife, and that's not one of the fruits of God. Strife is not a fruit of the Spirit, right? Right then and there tells me that, no, you're not walking like I'm walking, because you're strifeful with everybody you meet. God said, now is the time for my holiness and my spirit. Now is the time for my holiness and my spirit. The enemy of your soul knows this and has been working for decades to render my holiness irrelevant and my spirit incompetent. Do not listen. I have been preparing the true army of God for this very time. Does anybody know how long we've been in this building? What? 1993, is that what you said? So since 1993 in this building, I've been preaching holiness. And do you know how many people have walked through these doors and left the doors too? Because they said, your message is too hard. We love you, but your message is too hard. I can't live what you're preaching. Do you know how many souls that means it's not going to make heaven? Because if the message is too hard and you can't live the way God's word says to live, then there's only one place for you to go. And that's not heaven. Now, where am I, Agnes? The longings, God said, the longings of your heart and the cries of your prayers have caused all of heaven to draw closer for this time of great revelation and transformation of a higher order. And, you know, Sister Deborah, as she was walking, dancing here today, God said, I brought her here to prepare her for the great ministry I'm sending her into. Now, I don't know what God's called you to do, but he called you here to clean you up and get you ready for that great ministry. And he's saying right now, do not allow the enemy to take you off course or off guard. Stay on the course God has placed your feet upon, and continue to do the works that you are doing, for God is in the entire thing. Psalm 104, verse 30 says, when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the surface of the ground. When you receive the Holy Spirit within you, you are renewed. The old, God keeps working on, I've heard Jim Yates used to always say, that God peels you like an onion, one layer at a time, until he gets down to the very truth and the core of who you truly are. And this is what God's, you know, line upon, God's a line upon line and precept upon precept. He's been trying to get us from this old nature to the new nature. And some of you have been in that dear little peeling process for quite a few years. Let's say 5, 6, maybe 7, 8 years. I think you ought to be pretty well peeled. I think we ought to be down to nothing. If you're an onion, there's no quarter or an onion, is there? So, you know, come on now. God's, in other words, God's got all the sin out of you is what I'm saying. You're down to nothing. Now you're just who God created you to be. A perfect human being. Walking in holiness, doing the will of the Father. Some of you put back on layers, though. I just heard God say that. When he peeled a layer off, you stuck it back on again because you wasn't willing to give up that layer. God says, do not be dismayed at those who are found to be wanting. Do not be distraught at the changes of the guard to come. In other words, God's been pulling down ministries and putting new faces up. So we're already seeing that, you know, where new faces are coming on the scene. And this is God bringing them forward so he can take the old away. It is a necessary doing for kingdom business to commence. In other words, taking down the old and bringing in the new. That which my spirit has been preparing is now close at hand. A highway of holiness will usher it in. Now, I want to ask each one of you sitting here, do you truly walk in holiness? Are you truly, have you truly allowed God to change you? You know, this sex thing is about as perverted can get. It's not even sex, it's total lust. And I had a pastor tell me one time, it's nobody's business what goes on in your bedroom because that's between you and your husband or you and your wife. God's in that bedroom too. And God has told me never get into that kind of mess, and I never did. But how many... As I hear people talk, there's a lot of ministers out there that do things in the bedroom that God never ordained. Come on. God is a pure and a just God. He makes everything perfect. And he doesn't make anything perverted or crooked. So you need to think about your whole life. What are you doing with your whole life? Your whole life. Everything about you. Everything about you has to be holy. Come on. Come on, wife. Let's look, watch a little bit of pornography and get ourselves all worked up so we can do what we see on the movie screen. I know that happens. That's not godly. If you need that kind of a whatever, then you need to stop having sex. Because God's sex is holy. And it's pure. You need to start thinking very, very seriously, how are you living? Holiness is the only thing that God is going to accept. And you call yourself a minister, but yet you are the worst gossiper in the world. And you do things behind closed doors that you never think anybody ever knows, but God sees it all. And when I was first born again, God, there's a scripture in the Bible where preachers, they do things in light, then they go into caves and do things in the dark. I meant to look that up and I forgot. God is not pleased if you're a minister of the gospel and you're still in sin. He's not pleased with that. He's going to uncover you. He's going to show your congregation in the world who you really are and what you're really up to. I'm telling you right now, it's better that you go ahead and get yourself cleaned up rather than have God expose you. And God's going to hold you accountable for all the souls that you led astray. He's not going to let you lead souls astray. He just isn't. If you men are used to pornography, you need to get that and go get your mind washed. I watched that video. They did the right thing. You know, come on. God is willing to take all that junk out of you. But you're not willing to let go of it. It's going to take you to hell. It's going to take you right out of God's hands. You're never going to do any work for God. I'm just being plain and simple and honest because God is sick and tired of people being in the house of God and being a mixture. You're either holy or you're not holy. You're either saved or you're not saved. There's no in between here. There never should be any darkness in a child of God. Come on. I asked Sister Catherine if she was showing her husband the love of God. She said, well, I think I failed. I said, no, I think you had righteous indignation. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes we have to have righteous indignation. Some people are just a little bit thick-headed, and her husband's a little bit thick-headed. Right, Catherine? Say yes. Thank you. But see, you know, we just do, you know, we allow people to walk all over us and do things, and we think, well, because I serve the church, and I mean, because I serve God, and I have a position in a church, I have to be a doormat. That is not true. I used to believe that. That is not true. You're a child of God, and you have a right to stand up for your rights. And if they think that you're going to go to hell, well, let them go and ask God about it. I always say, well, go ask God. That's what Isaiah, I say so often, Isaiah says to me, if I ask him something, I say, you tell me the truth. He says, why don't you go ask God, talk to him about it. He'll tell you. That's the way he does it too, and he walks away, you know. I'm glad he thinks that way. He knows he's right. He's not afraid of me go and talk to God. The other day he did something I knew he didn't do, and I said to him, should I go talk to God? Well, no, not this time, he said. You know. So are you afraid for somebody to go and ask God what you're about? If you are, then you're not walking right with God. Come on. We had pastors come in here when we first opened up here, and they come in here. They always sit in the front row, and they were going to. They told us this. Their whole thing of coming in here was to show the people I wasn't of God. And at the end of the service, they'd stand up and say, this is what I came here for. And they would cry and they'd say, but this woman is definitely of God. I'm not afraid to be held accountable. I know what I do, and I know I do what God tells me to do. Some things I don't like what God tells me to do, but you have to do what he tells you to do. But that doesn't mean you've lost your salvation if you're doing what God tells you to do. It means you're obeying God and you're making the devil really mad. All right. So, each one of you, have you been honest with yourself this morning? Now, because if you're going to have a ministry, you have to walk in his holiness. Come on. You have to walk in holiness or you're not going to have a ministry. God's going to take you out. Do you really live the life that you're professing to live? Or is it just, well, like God told me one time, they put a face on for the church and they have a different face when they leave the church. I want you to think about this really hard. I know God has given each one of you a wonderful prophetic word of what he's going to do in your life. But you have to clean yourself up in order to do that. It's just not automatically going to happen. And then once you clean yourself up to do that, then you have to keep yourself clean. You have to be constantly going before the throne of grace, asking God to check you out, to make sure you haven't gone astray somewhere. If you're like me, every now and then he'll say, well, you stepped over the boundary here or there, you know. Went a little bit too far with your anger, or, you know. And then, see, and then you have to say, God, I repent of that. Help me with my anger. If you have an anger issue. I'm just showing you. Why are you afraid to go before God and ask him to show you what's going on in your life? Are you afraid what he's going to show you? Then if you are, then you need to get cleaned up because God can't use you. He can't use you. When I married my second husband, God said, I really didn't want to do that. But he said, you're the only woman I could find that would lead him up and not go down to his level. And he said, I want him to end up in heaven. He ended up in heaven. It was not an easy road. But I never went down to his level. Are you listening here? How many of you are going down to somebody else's level? instead of them pulling up to your level. This is very important to know, because you're going to run into all kinds of people. And you have to be careful too, because there'll be one thing to your face, another thing behind your back. So you have to be walking in the spirit so that God's constantly telling you, listen to what they're saying. Watch what they're doing. Because he doesn't want you to walk around in deception. Well, you're awful quiet. So I think there's some wells that need to be cleaned out here this morning. I think there's some of you that aren't walking as deep as you should be walking in God. And that God's trying to get you transformed before he has to let you go. Because he's cleaning house. And he will drop you. And you can't give God an excuse. You don't have one with God. You have an excuse with yourself, you think, and with people you think, but you don't have one with God. Are you holy? He's going to ask you, are you living holy? Are you doing the things I'm calling you for to do? And I'm going to tell you, when you're trying to live holy with your loved ones, you cry a lot because you feel so alone. So alone. I know I go through this all the time because you really don't have anybody you can talk to except Jesus. I think that's why I like that song, Talking to Jesus. Because he's the only one who will talk back to you and tell you the truth. And he's the only one that understands what you're going through. So the altar's open this morning for holiness.